Today on Older and Wiser.
It's tax season. We'll reveal how far some people say they'd go to avoid the IRS.
Also, should we be paying people to donate their organs? And what's a fair price?
Plus, we'll find out what kids have in common with prison inmates. And we'll reveal America's creepiest professions.
I'm Bob Bates, along with Susan Sikora, and you're listening to Older and Wiser. All right, well, it is tax season, my favorite time of year.
Ouch.
A new survey came out recently. The headline is, "Some Americans would prefer an IRS tattoo to paying taxes." I mean, they actually asked people, would you rather get IRS tattooed on your arm or pay taxes to the IRS? And some people said...
Where on my arm?
You're considering the possibility.
No one's going to ever see that anyway, because I practically need a girdle for my upper arms.
This survey was conducted by Wallet Hub, and it was a nationwide survey of 1,000 taxpayers, and the results were pretty interesting. 6% would rather sell a kidney. Oh, please. I'm going to pay my taxes before I'm going to sell an organ.
Keep going with the choices. These are interesting.
8% would rather name their firstborn child taxes.
Hmm.
And 11% would rather spend 3 years cleaning the bathrooms at Chipotle.
I think of all of those, first of all, I don't have children, so it's easy for me to say I'd probably name my firstborn taxes. That could be changed later.
That could be changed later, exactly.
But I don't want to get a tattoo. I would consider one if it was small and it was just with some ink and not the, you know, the whole hot iron deal or whatever the hell it is, because it's so painful. I don't want the pain either.
Hot iron?
I might do it
what
once
you...
if I never had to pay taxes again.
What's the whole hot iron deal? What's that?
Aren't tattoos put on with some kind of heat? Or
No.
Like
it's a needle. No. It's an electric needle that they inject the ink under the skin.
I have really blocked out this pain. If you want somebody to block out pain mentally, call me.
You definitely don't want to get a tattoo. That's for sure.
No, I don't think
taxes,
so.
Naming your child taxes would be kind of cute, actually, because you could call him or her Taxi. You know, hey, Taxi. of course.
I bet you could.
The survey says 11% would rather spend 3 years cleaning the bathrooms at Chipotle. Now, you know, that was the place that was famous for the norovirus outbreak, where people were getting sick from the food. 36% of respondents said they're afraid of making silly math mistakes. I get that. I mean, most of us haven't done a lot of math since we were in school.
Right. And it's a fear-driven exercise that happens annually, and we need to stop it. We need to figure out another way. I'm not saying the government doesn't need money to run. We all get part of that.
Yeah.
But when you figure there's so much waste anyway, they're not good shoppers. I've always said that.
It would be nice if there was a sleeker way of taking a percentage of what we make and putting it into the national fund. Presidential candidates keep suggesting a flat tax. What do you think about that idea?
I think the only thing I would change about that is depending on what you make. I think if you're on retirement, Social Security, a pension, what have you, and your income, as you know, it has gone down and you're having trouble dealing with your expenses because the cost of living never goes down. That always goes up.
So a flat tax... So sort of a variable flat tax where the rich people pay a higher percentage.
Below you pay something else, and below a certain income you pay nothing.
Right.
And not where it's, you know,
but let's get rid of all the deductions. Simple.
Right. That's it. And then just have a sliding scale. Maybe have two or three, maybe even four different categories.
Well, you know, you can get in big trouble if you get audited. 19% of people in this survey said they did fear getting audited.
Well, I bet it's higher than that. Those are just the people who are saying that they're afraid. But
it's
a stupid system, and it needs to be cleaned up and rethought and updated.
It does. Even though some people in this survey said they're willing to donate an organ in order to avoid.
Why are these the choices?
Well, I don't know.
I don't want to pay taxes so you can have a kidney.
Speaking of that.
What's next? My heart or my liver?
Speaking of that, a new survey came out recently, which adds to the debate over people paying to donate organs. The University of Florida College of Medicine came out with a paper on kidney donations. More than 100,000 patients are waiting for a kidney. Thousands of people die waiting to get a kidney.
I'm sure.
17,000 people were surveyed recently, and to find out how they would feel if someone said, I'll give you $50,000 if you'll donate a kidney.
Well, I'm sure, you know, listen, if you need $50,000, and I certainly could use it, but I don't know. What if my one remaining kidney goes bad? And then I'm kind of...
It's a big moral dilemma, because right now, of course, that's not legal. Because that would simply promote the purchasing of organs from poor people. Of those who are already willing to donate an organ to someone who needed one, 63% said that payment would make them even more likely to do so.
Sure. Well, why not? I mean, really, if everything is for sale and you have two good kidneys and you're willing to take a risk that, you know, both your kidneys are healthy and will remain so, and you can survive on one and it will remain healthy, which you don't really know.
Right.
Fine. Now, I think all this changes when it's, let's say, a relative or a loved one who needs a kidney. Then we're not talking money. We're just talking, you know, am I a match and can we do this?
Of course. When you consider what you go through when you have to donate an organ, it's a lot. You know, there's things you can't do ever after. There's medication you have to take for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. There's the pain of the surgery. There's a lot to it. And so if you're going to do that, I'm not so sure it's wrong to compensate a person. Paying for organs would certainly, you know, provide more available organs to those who need them.
It sweetens the deal. There's more of an incentive. Let's face it. If you can spare it, and especially if you would donate it anyway, if you were willing to donate it anyway, so parting with a healthy kidney, one of two healthy kidneys, is not an issue for you.
How does it affect the cost of the operation now, though? In other words, if you got a donated kidney before, and now you still have to have the operation, but now you have to, in addition to that, pay $50,000 for the actual payment of the kidney. Does that mean every kidney operation is going to cost $50,000 more?
I don't know. This is why you and I are not doing the medical records and the bookkeeping at a hospital or any medical facility near us.
Okay, moving on. A new survey out, this one done by a laundry detergent company called Persil. I guess it's in the UK. We don't get Persil here in the US, but they...
I thought we did.
P-E-R-S-I-L.
I-L, in liquid form. I thought I just saw it somewhere.
No kidding.
They don't have pods yet, though. I do like the pods. I'm a fan of the pods.
You like to throw the pod in there.
I like to throw the pod in there. I don't like measuring stuff and spilling the junk all over the liquid stuff or the powdered stuff. It doesn't make a mess. It's neater. You use everything you use everything you're using.
They need to redesign those things so that kids don't look at them and think they're candy. They do look like candy.
Yeah. You got to keep them high and away, yes.
A survey of 12,000 parents worldwide revealed a number of shocking results in this survey. Here's the headline. Many kids spend less time outdoors than prison inmates.
That's awful.
Yeah, so the idea is that that kids aren't getting out much. In fact, they're getting out so little.
Mm-hmm. But not shocking.
74% of youngsters are not allowed to spend an hour outside.
Wow.
An hour outside.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. I suppose, you know, listen, if you live in an urban environment, it could be hard to say, let the kids run around on the streets outside.
Wait a minute. Time out. I'm going to dispute one thing. And I'm going to be full disclosure here. I'm not a parent. I don't think it's the urban necessarily. I think it's anywhere. If you, let's say, are a working parent and your kid goes home from school and is alone, you may not want that child outdoors because he or she could be, you know, kidnap them, what have you.
Right. It's a new world. It is a shocking statistic. 74% of youngsters are not allowed to spend an hour outdoors. Mm-hmm. 62% of parents believe their children have less opportunities to be outdoors than they did. Well, that's absolutely right, right?
Right. Okay.
77% of parents admitted their children often refuse to play games not featuring some form of technology. So
now I'm
there.
Frightened.
You go. So is it the kids don't want to go out because they'd rather stay inside and play with their Xbox?
I suspect it's a combination of the two, and there's probably overlap.
Mm-hmm. Somehow there isn't, it doesn't seem as exciting to run around outdoors with dirt and sticks as it does to, you know, get on your computer and build something.
Well, not only that, but do you remember when you were a kid and you went out and played? I mean, listen, I was no sports star at all. My parents would say, come on, Susan, run, you know, like run. Do you understand? They wanted to give me lessons in running. I played kickball on my street. It was a little street in a suburban neighborhood, nothing fancy, very middle class, but it was a street where there was hardly any traffic. So if we played kickball and had to move for a car, it was usually because one of the neighbors was coming in or out of their driveway, and that wasn't happening that often.
Again, that privileged sort of suburban lifestyle.
Well, a different time, a different time, you know. But I went out and played. And also, here's my point. I'd take my dolls out. I'd have little doll weddings and all kinds of. We made potholders and painted seashells and did all kinds of. We were outside, though.
I guess the point is that if you're a kid and you have the option between playing with a stick in the dirt or playing with an Xbox, I get it. I think it's more exciting to play with something more sophisticated and exciting, visually interesting.
The stick in the dirt depends on your bringing some imagination actively to what the stick is, what the dirt is,
but the reason
what's going on here.
But when we were kids, we didn't select the stick in the dirt as our primary way of doing it because we had a lot of options. We played with a stick in the dirt because a stick in the dirt was all we had. So we tried to make the best of what was almost nothing.
Bob, just for the record, I did not grow up in any way, shape, or form even near rich. And I got to tell you, I never played with a stick in the dirt. Maybe I made mud pies, you know, and put some green grass on it and pretended I was cooking. But, you know, I don't know.
I may have overstated my example. 54% of these kids said they could not identify an oak tree, while 80% could identify Justin Bieber.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if I know the exact kind.
I'm not sure I know an oak tree either.
I probably would. If you have a lot of oak trees around, then yeah, you're going to know. Or you'll know it's a tree at least. But
I could identify Justin Bieber over an oak tree as well, so in their defense. Same. Yeah.
All right.
All right, moving on. Our next survey comes to us from a publication called New Ideas in Psychology and some researchers at Knox College. It's a silly little survey, but the headline is What People Find Creepy, according to one new survey.
Identifying Justin Bieber over an oak tree probably is creepy.
That's creepy right there, right? Yeah, so they did an online survey of a little over 1,000 people with an average age of 29 and asked them basically some questions about what they found to be creepy. First of all, I'm not totally sure we all have the same definition of creepy.
Creepy, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Some of the examples that people gave as creepy were they're creeped out by people who repeatedly lick their lips.
I don't know.
What
about
is that?
That
is that a thing?
It just gets, that's annoying. I don't know if it's creepy.
People who laugh at inappropriate moments.
Yeah, it could be creepy, but I think more that says more about the person being maybe nervous.
Yeah. Or people who habitually steer the conversations towards sex. I guess that's
that could be creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy.
And I think women might find that creepier than men.
Of the attributes that the survey participants rated as creepy, greasy hair, pale skin.
You've overdone the product,
A peculiar smile. Peculiar smile is creepy.
Maybe until, well, and that may be more so with somebody you don't know. I mean, if somebody in your family has a peculiar smile, after a while, that peculiar is just familiar.
Yeah, exactly. So what's unfamiliar can be creepy. Mm-hmm. Bags under the eyes,
That's not creepy, that's creepy.
Creepy.
I know
that's
that.
Creepy skin.
Creepy I know skin. That creep.
Unkempt hair. Dirty clothing, bulging eyes. Bulging eyes is creepy. I feel sorry for people with bulging eyes.
I think dirty hair.
Dirty hair, yeah. Someone needs to wash
that. Because, you know, you want to say, go take a shower and wash your hair.
I mean, I guess all of these things are just signs of being a little bit what we consider to be unattractive. So I don't know that that's so fair.
I think that this country is very caught up in the what I call the proverbial Miss America pageant.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? How pretty is she?
If she's pretty, she must be nice. If she's ugly, she must be lying. I mean, I think if you give people those very limited choices, they'll always pick the attractive person as having the more positive features and attributes.
I think that would be a very interesting survey to do.
In this particular survey, didn't they find out that some of the creepiest occupations were like clowns and taxidermists and sex shop owners and funeral directors?
Yeah.
Okay. Taxidermists? Yeah. I can't imagine. I think, I don't know which is creepier, that they're actually taking the guts out of an animal and stuffing it, or to go into somebody's house and see, oh, that's my cat. He died 3 years ago, but now he's stuffed.
Would you ever stuff one of your animals?
No.
I mean, you'd get to keep it with you forever after that.
Oh. No.
Poised dramatically on the fireplace, sort of with a...
No.
Like in attack mode, perhaps.
If I get to the point where I need a stuffed dead cat as a conversation starter in my home, I should take a vow of silence.
I mean, the other option would be to have it stuffed kind of curled up in a blanket. So it's always sleeping.
No, let it rest in peace. Let it go back to the earth. And if you think it has a little soul, it'll meet you on the other side. And if it didn't, it had a nice life. And it gave you unconditional love. And hopefully you cared for it and gave it the same.
How about just putting its head on a little board and
hanging it? No. I don't think we need to stuff things.
I think we can agree.
Things that were alive, when they're dead, they're dead. And if you believe in an afterlife, then that's going on. We don't need to look at their remains for the rest of our lives, stuffed with, I don't know what you even stuff them with. I don't even want to know.
I think that's fair. I can that's agree. Creepy. Taxidermy is a little on the creepy
that's
side.
Creepy. Yes.
Why do we find clowns so creepy?
I don't know.
I mean, I do. I certainly do. But what is it? Because the intention of a clown is to make you laugh.
Yes. I think sometimes, though, maybe because their expressions don't change enough because of the makeup. I don't know. I'm not sure about the clown thing. That's come up before. And people who are afraid of clowns, they get it totally.
You don't get it. No, I was.
People who aren't go, what are you afraid of? It's a clown.
As a kid, I did not like clowns and still don't. I don't get it. It's like,
well, they're a little overwhelming, I think, for children.
Overwhelming.
They're bigger than life characters that are alive.
And I think it's that the smiles are too big. Mm-hmm. The, you know, everything's too big. It's like
big.
It feels
fake. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something.
Especially to children. And I think if you start out as a kid, that's maybe the first time you would go to a circus where you might see a clown or a party. And then the clown is there and you see it for the first time. You don't know what it is because it's alive and it looks like a person. But, you know, why doesn't its expression change? Or what's it? I don't know. It's just.
And I guess it's obvious that a funeral director would be considered one of the creepier occupations. I really have to hand it to the people who have taken this on as a profession. Obviously, we need funeral directors in the world.
Yeah.
We need someone to handle that unpleasant part of life and death. But I wouldn't be able to do it.
One.
Would you?
I babysat for one.
You babysat for one.
I did.
You mean you stayed
in our church? Nice family, and he had a couple of kids. And when I was babysitting age, he and my father were in the Holy Name Society or something, you know. And I'm telling you what he said. Would she like to babysit? And I thought, okay. And I was kind of intrigued because I thought,
and they
okay,
lived.
Where's the stuff?
They lived in the funeral home, right?
Yes, yeah. They lived on.
So you
like
went
the third
and
floor or something, right?
So you took care of children in a house where there were dead bodies, probably in an adjacent part of the house. Yes.
Down, it was two floors down. It was the I think the basement was the, you know, the area where you'd pick out a casket and do the embalming and all of that, and where a dead body might be. And then the next floor up was where the funeral parlor was, where they would have people, you know, viewings and so forth.
And how
and
late?
Then the third floor up was where they lived.
How late were you there?
Late enough.
It was dark. It was dark, right?
I was always tempted to go downstairs and see if I could. And then I thought, nah, you better just stay on the third floor.
Did you put the kids to bed and then you watch TV?
Yeah, pretty much.
And
that
then,
was
so,
what babysitting
okay.
was.
So yeah, but so you're in the funeral home, right. And you the light it's dark and it's getting late.
And what, did I think Frankenstein was going to come up the stairs or something?
No. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I mean, it was a little creepy knowing that there could have been a dead body two floors down.
You think? That's true.
I will admit that. But the family was really nice. I knew them well. They were nice people. The kids were well behaved. They were good kids. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I was there every week. I mean, chances are when I was there, maybe, you know, the parents weren't going out because there wasn't a funeral. And so it was kind of a dry time, if you will. But I don't know. You know, I mean, it was a weird thing. Actually, it has actually made a better story as I'm an adult saying that I babysat
than the funeral. Real experience, right?
Yeah. Right.
At the time, you don't really remember much about it. I have to agree with the folks who said that is probably the creepiest profession. It really is because you are seeing stuff that really we don't want to see.
Well, now here's the deal: if suppose you were single, and you were either dating or maybe were considering marriage to somebody who was in the funeral profession,
you'd have to be okay with it.
Well, if he lives on the job or she lives on the job or he, you know, yeah.
You'd really have to be okay with it.
Now, if the job is in one building, I mean, a lot of funeral directors do not live in the same facility. In other words, they go to work like anybody else.
But in small towns, they usually do live right there in the funeral home. But getting back to your point, you were about to say that if you were dating somebody who was a funeral director, what would you do?
You mean if somebody said, will you marry me? And by the way, let's live in my fabulous house, which is partly a funeral home.
Yeah.
I'd probably say, can we think about this and maybe, I don't know. See, I think that's tough.
I think it would be interesting.
I don't know that I'd want to live there 24/7.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Older and Wiser. Susan, glad you could join us. This has been fun.
Always good to be with you, Bob.
And if you are following us on olderandwiser.com, don't forget to check out the survey section. You can read up on all the stories we've talked about today.
And Grumpy Grandma.
And Grumpy Grandma. Don't forget to check that out as well. We'll never know who she really is. Perhaps someday we'll reveal that. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on olderandwiser.com.